This morning, we're going to think about our singing. One of the amazing works of God in his people is that he sanctifies grumblers and complainers into worshipers, into singing people. When I was young, I used to sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game and Happy Birthday, and that was, I think, the extent of my song list, but the Lord worked in my heart, and I became a Christian, and I began to sing. It was awesome. And we're going to talk about singing. As a church, you've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians, and one of the fruit of the Spirit is joy, and one of the effects of joy is singing. Ephesians 5, 18 through 19 says, "Be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart." So this morning, this sermon is entitled, "Sing, because God reigns." Sing, God reigns. So are you a singing Christian? Do you sing? Psalm 146 helps us answer the question, how do we cultivate a singing life as a Christian? So that's what we're looking at. Psalm 146. I'll be reading and preaching this psalm this morning. I have 3 points to guide our study of Psalm 146. Point one is sing. And point two is why we don't sing in verses 3 and 4. And verses 5 through 10, point three is why we do sing. So sing, point one. Point two is why we don't sing. Reasons in our heart for why we don't sing. And 5 through 10 will help us answer the question, why should we sing? So that's where we're going. Let me pray for us before we look into God's word. Our God in heaven, we give you thanks and praise that you turn grumblers and complainers into worshipers and singers. And we praise you, God, that you call us to sing and you command us to sing. And we praise you, God, that you are glorious and great and that you have been good to us through Christ. So God, help us to see in this text the great reasons for why we should sing and be Christians who worship you through song. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Let me read Psalm 146. It says this, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations." Praise the Lord. This is a great psalm. So, point one for us this morning, sing in verses 1 through 2. There are 3 things I'd love for you to notice in verses 1 through 2 about singing. The command to sing, that we are also called to sing, and that this singing here in verses 1 and 2 is a celebration. Singing, praising God, is a command, it's a call, and it's also a celebration here. So notice the command. Verse 1 says, "Praise the Lord." This is hallelujah. Praise God. This is God's inspired word. He breathed out this word. This is God's word. And he, from Psalm 146, commands us, praise the Lord. praising God is a command. So what does this mean for our singing? Sometimes it's tempting to think that the reason why we come to church is 10 o'clock has somewhat, you know, commanded us to come. Or perhaps your pastor, Jeff, has said worship starts at 10. Remember, God has commanded you to come here because he is God and he is so good. He has commanded you to come and praise him. So this is a command to praise God. We are to obey God's command to sing and to praise him. But notice also it's a call to worship. This is a call. One reason, perhaps, why the translators here put an exclamation point at the end of praise the Lord is it's this call. It's this call to God's people. Come praise the Lord with us. With me, the hymn writer is writing. So it's a call. This is a hymn, a song by this man who has experienced something about God. And he's inviting God's people to come and to praise the Lord with him. It's a call to worship. What does this mean for our singing? Singing is not about how good we sound. It's about hearing the call of God to come and give him praise. It's not about how good we sound. It's about giving him praise. And so, if you come to worship and you sing, sometimes we're concerned about, what do the rest of people think about my singing? And we should hear the call to not praise ourselves, not to be concerned with ourselves, but to center our gaze on God and to praise him. So it's a call. Third, notice that this psalm begins with this celebration. This man has experienced something about God, and he's excited about praising God. He says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being." He says, "I will praise the Lord as long as I live." He knows something about God that he's celebrating God and so thankful. He says, "I will praise God every day of my life. I will sing as long as I have being, as long as I have breath." It's a celebration of God. The question we need to ask is, do we sing every day of our lives? This man says, "I will celebrate and sing." He vows that he will sing to God every day. And so the question, do we do that? Do you sing praises to God every day? Do you sing to him? Last summer, I had the flu. I do not like getting the flu. And I've never sung while I was sick. But I was on the couch with the flu, do not like the flu, and I began to think about God. And I was laid out, just sick. And I was thinking of this psalm. "While I have being," he says. And so I laid there, sick with the flu, and I began to sing. "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." And it was a sweet time, being sick and singing. "As long as I had breath," but I've never sung when I was sick. And so, brothers and sisters, when you are sick, you have breath, you have being. So sing. Sing to God. This passage is calling us, is commanding us to praise God, and it's calling us to praise God, and it's commanding us to praise him every day. So do you sing every day? Sing every day. Sing while you work. When you're at work, sing a song. When you wake up in the morning, sing a song. When you're driving, I love to drive and sing, and you stop at a red light and someone's kind of looking at you and then you're just singing. Sing with your kids. Sing when you are sick. When you visit a family who is sick or grieving, Sing with them in the hospital. Sing with them when they are sick. It's a mysterious thing to sing in the midst of sadness, but it's a joyful thing too. The power of the gospel is God's good news can come even in those dark places. So sing every day of your life. But you know, sometimes it is hard to sing. Isn't it hard to sing on days when you're going through suffering or sad times? This Psalm 146 focuses on God's suffering people. Most of the people mentioned here are the oppressed or the widows. They're all going through hard times. But before it goes there and talks about those people and talks about what God is doing, verses 3 and 4 focuses us on what not to hope in, on where not to look in suffering. It shows us in our hearts, it shows us that thing that we hope in from our heart or in our soul that is the reason why we don't sing. So let's look at this point too, why we don't sing, and we see that in verses 3 and 4. Notice what it says. It says in verse 3, "Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish." This says, put not your trust in princes. So what does that mean first? Princes. Who are these princes, we need to ask before we look at the reasons for why we should not trust in these princes? If you think back at the Psalms, in verse 2, it says, there are kings of the earth who have set themselves up against God. But here in Psalm 146, it doesn't say kings. It says princes. We have to ask the question, why is this psalm writer focusing on princes and not kings? Well, let's think of this. Princes are those who are in a position of delegated authority. They might have some authority. They're people, they're leaders who are not yet in authority, not yet in a position of power. Princes are those who are not yet elected into position. And it's tempted in life to think when life is really hard, when we are having a hard time singing, that if only a new leader would come, if only a new government official would come into the position and come up with new rules, if only that would happen, then life would be better. And this psalmist is saying, one reason why you probably don't sing in times that are difficult is because you're looking to these princes, these ones who are not yet in power. And he says, do not trust in princes. This last year with the election, I think half of our nation was pretty happy. And to their fault, if the emotions and the sadness or joy raise and fall with new elected officials, some are happy, but others are sad. Another part of our nation feels like their nation has abandoned them. And it is difficult with this election. And this psalm is saying, don't trust in princes, in the leaders of the world. Don't look to them. And it gives us three reasons why we should not trust in princes. The first reason it says, do not trust in princes, is precisely because in verse 3, princes do not save. Princes cannot save you. And in contrast, the Lord Jesus saves. So don't trust in princes because they do not save. Second reason, it says, princes are immortal. Verse 4, it says, when his breath departs, princes die and they return to the dust of the earth. Don't trust in these leaders because they return to the earth. They are mere men. The third reason, it says, princes, their plans perish. Verse 4, on that day, his plans perish. Princes cannot save. They die and their plans end. And so it says, don't trust in those leaders. Don't look to leaders of the world to find your hope and your joy in, because they end. And this psalm is a great contrast between those princes and the works of God in verse 5 through 10. It's a great contrast between the princes who die and verse 10 that says the Lord will reign forever. The princes die, but the Lord reigns forever. And though the world killed the Savior of the world, he rose from the dead. So we should trust in him. We make this conclusion as we look at this passage for these first three reasons is that we should not trust in princes. There is nothing in these leaders of the world that fill our hearts and soul and give us joy that we should praise God. But notice in verse 3 it says, put not your trust in princes, but then in the rest of the psalm it doesn't say where we should put our trust in. But there's a contrast. There's a reason within the text in this contrast here. It says, put not your trust in princes, but blessed are those whose hope is the God of Israel. It's this implied contrast. It doesn't just say, put your trust in God. It says, look at God. Look at his works on your behalf. Look at how good he is towards the oppressed and the people who need hope. And that's what we see in verses 5 through 10. So when it's hard to sing, I would ask you this. Is there a worldly leader, someone not yet in full authority, who you are trusting in for hope? Perhaps it's a doctor or a president or a government official. This psalm says, don't trust in them, but trust in the Lord. And when you trust in the Lord and look to him, you will sing. So let's look at why we do sing in verses 5 through 10. Do you know what fuels lifelong praise and singing? It's knowing God. It's seeing his work. It's knowing God and trusting in him. Look at verse 5. It says, blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob. Blessed is he. This means, brother and sister, you will be happy when your help is the God of Jacob. So is your help the God of Jacob? Trust in him. Believe that hoping in God will not leave you disappointed. But when you trust in him, you will be happy and blessed. And notice that this God is not just this God with a, you know, short record of being good. He's a faithful God. It says the God of Jacob, whose help is the God of Jacob. And as we think of that, we think back to Jacob who wrestled with God. And we think of God who is faithful to Isaac and God who is faithful to Abraham. This God has a historical record of being trustworthy, an historical record of working for his people and being good to them. This is the God, the covenant God, the God who commits himself to his people. And so we find our hope in him. And when we realize that God is historically faithful, we see that we have much to praise him for. When God sets up nations and tears them down, we can be happy people. Why else will you be blessed or happy when you hope in God? It's because of who God is. Notice this is the God of creation. In verse 6, the psalmist moves our eyes in this call and command to praise God, and it moves our eyes to verse 6, the God who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them. God made every creature. He made the whole universe at the word of his mouth. When we see that, we realize this God that we worship has power. Our God has power. So are you in a situation where it's hard to sing? Is some sad situation in your life? Are you grieving over the loss of a friend? Do you need a God of comfort? Do you need a God of power? This God is a God of power. He made heaven and earth. He's not only powerful, he's not only the creator, but he keeps faith forever. He is faithful. These last few years, my wife has had a rare disease, a rare form of cancer. Her blood platelets are really elevated, and the doctors have not known what to do. We traveled up to Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, and we've seen all these doctors, and it's been tempting to think, God, are you faithful? Are you working for us? Are you good towards us? And this psalm focuses us on God's faithfulness. It said he keeps faith forever. And those times in the hospital, trusting in passages like this led us to joy. I was driving her to the emergency room one night, and it was an anxious situation. And I'm driving her there, and I remember just thinking about God and looking to him. And as I thought about God, you know what happened? I began to realize he is faithful. Though we're going to an emergency room, though this is difficult, I believed and I trusted in him. And I began to sing, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." In the midst of that moment that was difficult, because God was faithful. And God comforted us in that moment. He is faithful. Notice also, this psalm then moves from verse 6, and then in verse 7, 8, and 9, it mentions these people who are struggling in these situations. Notice in verse 7 through 9, the people mentioned here are not the people who have it all together. They're not the rescued people. They're the people who need help. Why should we sing? It's because God rescues the oppressed. He is good to the hungry, the prisoners, the blind, the bowed down, the sojourners, the widow, and the fatherless. Let's think of this some more. Why do we sing? It says this in verse 7. God executes justice for the oppressed. He gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. See how good God is? He is good to us. God is not just the Lord of creation, but he's the God who executes justice and he works for the oppressed. He is good towards those who need help in times of trouble. Look, God gives food to the hungry. God gives physical food, just like he did to God's people in the desert. God gives physical food, just like when Jesus fed the 5,000 men plus women and children. In Matthew 14, it says, Jesus broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they all ate and were satisfied. Brothers and sisters, God gives us physical food, and he also gives us spiritual food, which is the real food that we need. He gives spiritual food, and Jesus says this in John 6, verse 51. And it's very amazing. It's amazing. Jesus says, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. In this world, we are often spiritually hungry, and we keep going after things of the world, and they never satisfy. Jesus says he's the bread of heaven, and if anyone eats of him, the Lord Jesus, he will live forever. When you are hungry, what does this mean for us? When you are hungry, recognize that your hunger for something in the world might not just be physical. You might have a spiritual hunger that only God can satisfy. If you have a frustrating day, what do you do? I've been repenting of my habit of, after a hard day, I go home and I love eating ice cream. Ice cream. But I have a spiritual hunger, and I go home thinking that mint chocolate chip ice cream will heal my spiritual hunger. And you know what? It lasts for about 10 minutes, and then I have that problem again. Let us not go to things of the world for feeding our hunger, because we have a spiritual hunger for God to truly satisfy our souls. So recognize that your hunger is often spiritual. God alone will satisfy your soul's thirst and your hunger for God. Notice also the Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord set Israel free from Pharaoh, and he sets us free from our sin. Have you been in bondage to sin, and have you come to Christ and you begin to experience this? God sets the prisoners free. In Romans 6, it says this, "For if we have been united with him in a death like this, like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For no one who has died has been set free from sin." Excuse me, "For one who has died has been set free from sin." Brothers and sisters, God has set you free from the penalty of sin. He is setting you free from the power of sin, and one day he will set you free from the presence of sin forever. One day you will no longer struggle with sinning. You will worship God and rejoice, and you will never again forever sin in glory. Oh, what a day that'll be. When we can sing to God and not have thoughts of, oh, what are they thinking about me? But we will sing to God and worship and praise and rejoice, and we will be holy people, never sinning again. God sets the prisoners free. Notice also the Lord opens the eyes of the blind. Jesus healed many people who are physically blind. And if you have come to Christ, you have been healed spiritually from spiritual blindness. You are one who has been healed from spiritual blindness. This verse is therefore true of you, that he has healed you from your own blindness. Notice also the Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. Just as Psalm 3 says, "O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill." The Lord will lift up your head. In times of sadness and times of grief, look to God and he will lift your head. Notice the Lord loves the righteous. Brothers and sisters, you are the righteous. The Lord loves you. Notice how this psalmist focuses over and over again in these last verses, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. His gaze is upon God. His gaze is upon Christ because he is so good. How and why shall we sing? We will sing in as much as we focus on God. Center your thoughts on God. Focus on him. So how does this apply? Hope in God by faith. Look to him. See his mighty saving acts in Scripture. When you're in a tough situation, when you're in the hospital, center your thoughts on God's good work towards you. Maybe take out this psalm. Take it out and remember that God does these works for you. But what if it's difficult for us to focus on God? Brothers and sisters, there was one who focused on God and who sang to him up until his last breath, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the one who sang praises to his God while he had being, while he had breath. You know, when Jesus Christ was on the cross, he cried out in a loud voice, a song, a psalm. He cried out in a loud voice, the beginning of Psalm 22. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was centering his thoughts on singing praises to God, even up to his last breath. He truly did sing praises to his God while he had being. And so when we have failed to do this and failed to obey God, trust in Christ. He has done this perfectly for you. You know what else? When we see that the Lord Jesus sang a song, a forsaken song, while he was on the cross, we realize his great love for us. He sang, my God, why have you forsaken me? At times, it might feel like you are a prisoner or one who can't see God enough, or you might feel perhaps feelings of, I'm not the righteous. But look up to Christ and remember, he was forsaken so that you who believe and trust in him will never be forsaken. The Lord loves the righteous. But there's a warning here. It says, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. If you're not a Christian, come to Jesus. This psalm has a warning for those who sing after the things of the world. It says, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. So turn from your sin and trust in Christ. Turn to God and look at his great salvation and sing songs of praise, because God saves people who did not love him. He has sent Christ to the cross to die for our whole sins, to die for all of our sins. So come to him. Trust in him. The Lord saves. God is immortal. Do not trust in princes. Sing, brothers and sisters, because God saves. He is immortal. He is infinite and eternal. He reigns forever, and all his plans are established forever. Do not trust in princes. They die. Trust in the Lord who reigns forever. So, here are three concluding applications for us. One, sing to God every day. Get a song and type it out or print it out and put it on your dinner table and sing it in the morning, or sing in the car. Get a song or memorize a song and begin to sing it with your kids. Sing at work. Sing, especially in times of grief. There are times when we should mourn, yes, but also sing. Secondly, put not your trust in princes. Do not trust in princes. And third application, since God reigns, remember this. You who trust in him are blessed. You will be happy in God. As you wait for the final day to be set free from the presence of sin, trust in him. Sing in hard times and in good times. Sing in loss. Sing the songs of Christ who cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? You are not going to be forsaken. God upholds you, so remember, you are blessed in God. And sing because God reigns. Let's pray. Our God, we praise you and thank you, and our God, we worship you and give you praise, for you have been so good to us. God, help us to sing and be people who have a song in our step because of what our Lord Jesus has done for us. And God, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.